I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so today I'm going to address a common comment I get in social media on my blog. People who are like, stop designing for our format. Our format was better when you weren't designing for it. So I'm going to use Commander as my through line today. Not that people never say this about other formats, but Commander's the one I hear it most about. That Commander was more fun when you weren't designing for our format. So I want to talk a little bit of why. Why do we design for formats? Why do we just make generic magic cards in a vacuum? Why do we do that? So first and foremost, we design magic for people to play magic. Our goal, as simple as that is, we're making something that has a use case that we want people to use. In order to do that, we have to figure out how people are using it. There's no such thing really as designing in a vacuum. Like, you design, it's almost like I'm going to build a lamp, but I'm not going to build a lamp specifically for anybody. It's like, well, what kind of lamp? Is it a desktop lamp? Is it a bedside lamp? Like, what's the functionality of my lamp? For those that have not listened to this podcast for a long time, designing lamps is my go-to when I talk about designing things in general. So, when we design something, you have to design it for the use case of what you expect it to be used for. That is how you design things. And a big part of that is the iterative process is we make something, we play test with it, we get notes on it, and then we adapt it. Now, there are many different ways to play magic. And to be honest, we don't necessarily design for all of them, only because that's an endless task. But we do design for the majority use cases. So the big things we design for, we design with limited in mind, especially draft. We design with standard in mind. And we design with commander in mind. Something like modern we think about, the things that are, you know, next tier down we think about. And then there's lots and lots of formats. You know, Canadian Highlander or whatever, things in which they exist, and we make cards, but we don't specifically design for them just because there's not the volume. Like, we're trying to design for the largest use case. That is what we design. So obviously, magic changes over time. How we design magic today is different than how we designed 30 years ago, because the use case is different, how people are using it. So let me walk through a little bit of what are the advantages of us designing for your format. Why is that a good thing? And I will also talk a little bit about, is there a downside? I'm not saying there is a little bit of downside. I'll talk about that. But I think it's mostly upside. That is my contention today, that you want us designing for your format. So let's first start from the very beginning of the process. From exploratory design, vision design, why do you want us designing for your format? And the answer is, you want your format to be relevant. So once again, Commander is my example today. Once upon a time, we didn't even think about Commander in early design. And what happens is often we'll make things that aren't even viable, right? Like, it's very possible to make mechanics that don't work in Commander. And there's a couple different things. One is, so we have what we call parasitic mechanics. What a parasitic mechanic is I make a mechanic that is only usable with things in the set that I'm making it in. And there's a certain amount of parasitic mechanics that go on, but Commander has a huge problem with parasitic mechanics. And the answer there is a volume answer. So let's say I make a new set, and I make a mechanic where really you need this to play with it. But even if we do make it a major, major theme of the set that we are in, we're going to make 35 cards, 40 cards, maybe. Now in 60 card where you have four of, that's fine. That's more than enough. And remember, mechanics that big are spread across color. So it's not even like any one color or color combination gets a lot of that. They get a fifth of it. And so we'll make something like energy. Energy was a major, major element of Kaladesh, the set that introduced it. But the idea was for a 100-card singleton format, it's just not enough. One set, even one set that's blowing it out and doing a whole bunch with it, it's just not enough. And so if we just make too many of those, they I mean, once again, it's not that every mechanic we make has to be for Commander, but we want to make sure when we make a set that some of the mechanics are for Commander, that some of the things are relevant, and that, you know, for example, the fact that Commander exists, now, when we're looking at our suite of mechanics, we do, in fact, ask ourselves, do any of the mechanics, are they relevant to Commander? Can you play them in Commander? You know, we have to be very conscious of thinking about what we're doing, what's the suite of the mechanics we're doing, what themes are we doing. And we now, in exploratory design, and especially in vision design, will have a casual play designer, somebody whose expertise is in Commander, so that we can get notes about whether things will or will not work in Commander. And early on, when we're doing like early design, things are very flexible. The system is very flexible. So I have three or four different ways to do a mechanic, and I have somebody who's sitting in the room saying, you know, it would work better in Commander if you did this. I can hear that. I can adapt things. And so just having the voice of thinking about what the format is means early on in the creation. This is before we get to single cards. Just so the creation of themes, of mechanics, of larger sets, we actually lean toward the things we need to do. Much like, for example, Limited, there's a lot of things we need to do to make Limited a good format. So we think about that early on. If we didn't think about Limited early in the process, when we got time to, you know, make Limited, it wouldn't work. That there's a lot of structural things that have to happen. So first and foremost, just thinking about the format means as you start to do the very basic building of a set that you're making, the idea that somebody in the room is saying, hey, here's a note about how you can make it better for this format, helps the format, you know, helps push things toward the format, helps make things more relevant to the format. And I can't stress enough that, we do a thing called Vision Summit that's at the end of Vision, or, you know, three quarters into the Vision. And one of the things at Vision Summit is I have people who are experts in a lot of different areas. You know, I have people who are competitive play designers who are thinking about things like Standard go, yeah, I think this mechanic will work well for Standard if, or this mechanic won't work well because, and I'm getting a sense of, okay, do our mechanics work well for Standard? You know, I'm getting that for Commander. Do our mechanics work well for a Commander? You know, will they work well for a Limited? Like, all the different things are coming in so we can get a sense of, are we building something that down the road is going to be good for what we need, you know, for all the different ways they'll get used. So that is very important. Just the idea that you're keeping in mind that these things are relevant. And the other thing that I'll get into, but one of the advantages of playtesting something and iterating on something is you start to understand what the format really wants, what it needs. And that one of the advantages of having a casual play design team for Commander is I have people who are experts in Commander, who play Commander all the time, who design for Commander all the time, who are constantly thinking about Commander. So when I present something to them, they can say, oh, this is why this will or won't work, and go in great detail of, or what the other thing that's very, very effective is, this is close. You know, if you pushed in this direction, it would make it work much better. And that's a lot of things you want to hear early on when, you know, early in design, things are very flexible. Like, you know, and a lot of times when you're designing, you have choices of what you want to do. Knowing that when you're trying to make those choices, what impact those choices will have on the ways people will play play Magic down the road, very valuable. So another interesting thing regular listeners of this podcast or my columns or whatever, one of my big themes is the key to designing is what we call finding the fun. And what that means is you playtest your stuff, you figure out what about it is the most fun thing, what's the most fun thing to be doing. And then you have to make sure that the cards encourage you to do the thing that is the fun thing. Like, and I've talked about this many times. If you make players do something unfun to win, they'll do it because they're trying to win, but then they won't have a good time, and they will blame you, the game designer, because you made something that they sort of followed the rules of what to do and didn't have a good time. That is on you, the game designer. It is up to you to say, okay, what is the inherent fun there? And we spend a lot of time, especially in early design, when we're sort of figuring out mechanics of where's the fun? Where's the cool thing? Where am I doing something, you know, that I go, ooh, this is neat. I'm glad I'm caring about A, B, or C, that, you know. And that's a lot of it. Like, I tell the story about Zendikar when we tried, 46 land mechanics. And it wasn't until we got to the landfall we're like, oh, there's something here. Wow. Getting a reward for doing something you fundamentally want to do just felt good. And the idea that, you know, sometimes I would hold off on land because strategically it makes more sense to play it later. Or late in the game, I'd dream of drawing a land. That is something that never happened, you know. And that there's a lot of inherent fun there. And that's why we tried 46 mechanics. A lot of them weren't fun. In fact, the immediate predecessor to Landfall, which was the exact opposite, the idea that you got rewarded for not playing land, made it super unfun. People were constantly mana screwing themselves. And then, you know, R&D understood why it was happening. But I think a lot of players would have done it and, like, kept losing games, but not even understand why they were losing the games. So we need to find the fun. If you want to find the fun, you got to understand where the fun is. And that comes from playtesting and iterating and figuring out, oh, yeah, this kind of thing, playing Magic this kind of way is a lot of fun. And that is another thing that if we care about your, you know, if we think about the format, we are thinking actively about where the fun in that format is and how can we lean into that. You know, another thing that happens, you know, one of the ongoing themes today is that you want your format, it's nice if your format could have playtesting. Not every format gets playtesting because we sort of have to lean into where the majority of people are playing just because there's infinite ways to play Magic. But when you get playtesting, A, you just get people playing your card, you know, the cards in the way you play them. And those players, you know, those R&D folk get a lot of reps in it. So they also sort of understand when something's working or not working quickly. And so that all comes together, that they understand where the fun is, they can recognize more quickly when the fun is being reached, and they can sort of push and pull to get the mechanics going in the directions that make it more fun. Okay, the other thing that we can do when it is a format that we think about is we can look at what is going on in the format and say to ourselves, oh, are there gaps? Are there problems? Is there something that we need to fix? The classic example of this would be when Commander gets introduced. So real quickly, for those who don't know the other Commander story, Sheldon Menery was in the Army, I believe, and he would move around a lot. He gets stationed in different places, as the Army often would do. And so he got stationed in Alaska. And so he always would find his local game store and find a local game crowd. And they were playing this format that they had made up. And he really thought it had potential. He tweaked it a bit. But it would be essentially what they originally called EDH, Elder Dragon Highlander, which we now know as Commander. He liked the format, and he would play it with his friends. And then he introduced it to some of the judges at the Pro Tour. And after judging the end of the day, they would play it at the Pro Tour. And then other people sort of heard about it, and they started building decks. And it slowly built a small sort of fan base. Eventually, it got big enough that R&D said, you know, this seems like a cool thing. We should make a product. So we made a product for it. Product goes like gangbusters. And so we start making more products for it. And that starts the snowballing. Essentially, like I said, I think Commander inherently is a very fun format. But it was important to expose it to more people. You know, like, Sheldon did really good of getting the initial grassroots out, and then I think Wizards picking it up did a lot to just expose it to a lot more people. So, one of the things about the format, though, is it made a few fundamental shifts from how normal Magic is designed. Probably the biggest is you don't have one opponent, you have three opponents, and they're not at 20 life, they're at 40 life. So, certain colors really leaned into that. Blue is all about card drawing. Green's about ramping. Those are both great in Commander. But red and white leaned into more direct, fast strategies. Red's whole thing was, I'm going to beat you, you know, before you have a chance to, you know, to stop me. Well, I now have, instead of trying to do 20 damage, I now have to do 120 damage. Okay, that was a big problem for red, you know. And that early on, both the red and white were played way, way less than the other colors. You know, that the red and white were showing up at a much smaller percentage. So one of the things we had to do, because we cared about the format, because we were thinking about the format, is the Council of Colors spent some time and energy saying, okay, what do red and white need to do in Commander, and is there a way we can do that in a way that feels red and white? For example, one of the big examples was card advantage was really important. When you're playing a game that goes longer, if you run out of steam and don't have the ability to get more cards, it's less fun. So we came up with impulsive draw for red. The idea that red can have extra cards, but it's got to use them right away, felt very red. With white, the idea of we're going to make hoops that white has to jump through. And you can only get one card a turn. White's drawing long, not short, meaning it gets a lot of cards over time, but not all at once. Allowed white to have more of a long game. We started giving white more cantrip creatures, meaning you draw a card when you play the creature. So we did start doing things that gave white a play pattern and red a play pattern. And it wasn't just those things, but the point is, the Council of Colors, we thought about what was needed, and we could start adjusting things and pushing things and finding new space. So the reality is, if your format is something we can think about, we can address problems in the format. We can address inequities in the format, imbalances in the format. And because it's something that we are playtesting, because it's something we have experience of seeing, we can get a lot of notes of where the problems are. And that comes from paying attention. That comes from understanding. It's not just, Color Pie is my example here, but there are a lot of different things as they would play that they realized that certain colors, and sometimes it was more colors can use this thing, like card drawing. Sometimes it was more of, what are things the colors already do that work best? What are the commander-friendly things of each color? We could push on those a little more. But the idea that because we think about the format, we can sort of fill in the gaps that are needed is very important. And a side connection to that is when we work on a format, we interact with the public. I interact with the public every day. And players often say, hey, I would really like this thing. And I keep track of all the requests from the players. But the more popular the format, the more requests I get, and the more common requests I get. A really common thing that I'll get is, here's a theme that I really want to make a deck out of for Commander, but the Commander doesn't exist. Could you please make with these three colors, with this theme? The cards exist to make it. I don't have the Commander. And so we keep all those notes, and from time to time, we see the opportunity to do that. A lot of times we're making Commander decks. I know Gavin and I, because we have the most interaction with the public, will say, you have to make this thing. This is the thing that they've been asking for a long time, and here's the perfect opportunity to make it. We need to do that. And this is something that, I know the CSP has a long list of things they know people have asked for and people have wanted. And so filling the gap, plus answering requests is another part of caring about the format, meaning, if we know what is either missing or what people are saying they want, we have the opportunity to do that. Because we are thinking about the format, it allows us easier to give things that people need for the format. And responding to concerns is pretty big. That's more answering requests. Responding to concerns is, I guess, a corollary of the last thing. Just like people say, hey, I'm missing something and I want it. Also, when people don't like something, when something is unfun or something ends up working not the way we think, people will complain about that, right? I don't like thing X. Stop doing thing X. And we can do that. So I'm going to use this as a segue into, are there problems designing for your format? And I definitely want to stress that. I think overall designing for formats is very valuable and it's net gain. I do think that us designing for Commander has made Commander a lot more fun, but people do complain about things. So I don't want to address that. I don't want to say that. I think the two biggest problems that designing for format, and this is where people get complaints. One is there is a certain learning curve that comes from doing something. When we make stuff for the first time, sometimes we lean into what we consider the low-hanging fruit. But that's not always the right answer. So my example here is, I think when we first started designing for Commander, we leaned into some wrong assumptions. One is we started making commanders that were sort of universally good, meaning, oh, here's just a strong commander. So one of the truisms of design is good design expands choices, bad design restricts choices. We are a trading card game. We want to have a lot of options available for you. So if we make something that instead of going, ooh, what do? Of course I do that. That's not good, right? So when we make sort of universally good commanders that are just uber powerful, will people stop playing all the other interesting commanders and just start playing this one powerful commander? Oh, well, it does what I need to do, you know, it does what these other 10 commanders do, but better. And early Magic, as we were sort of learning what we were doing, we definitely fell into that trap. That was part of the learning curve. And we definitely early on made a few too many commanders that were a little more universally good than we should. Nowadays, our philosophy on commanders is that we want commanders to be more niche, right? I want the commander to do something, ideally, that something else wasn't always doing. Or if someone else was doing, let's do it in colors we didn't do it before. Like, let's find ways to introduce things that every commander, we want you to build a deck you've never built before. We don't want you to just take a deck you already have and replace your commander with this commander. That is not our goal. But the mere act of, I mean, one of the challenges of internal formats is cards don't go away. So if we are sort of cutting our teeth, learning things and figuring things out, we will make some mistakes. And it's not that we never make mistakes later in the process. We do. Hopefully we'll make new mistakes. But part of the process of trying to do something is sometimes we're overly efficient. Or we make mistakes that we learn with time. But because internal formats, they don't go away. Like standard, as we learn our lessons, eventually they go out of standard. Limited, as we learn our lessons, well, new limited formats don't have that. Eternal formats are kind of unique in that cards don't really, you know, barring banning, cards don't really go away. So when we sort of make a mistake in sort of learning about things, that sticks around, and we understand that. The second thing is, and it's a correlation of this, is sometimes in trying to make something, we figure out a need, but then we fill it too efficiently. And the classic example there is, there are cards for a commander that if you're trying to optimize, not everyone needs to optimize, commander's a casual format, but if you're trying to optimize, you kind of got to play this card in this color. This card is so good in this color that it is, and once again, it shrinks things. Like if every red deck is supposed to play this card, that's not ideal. What we want to do is make our strong cards, you know, strong in certain ways if you're doing certain things, but not universally strong. And so, if we make universally strong cards, that also can sort of reduce things rather than expand. And so it is true that when you design for your format, especially early in the process, sometimes we can make things that collapse rather than expand the format. And that's a mistake, and we shouldn't do that. But, I mean, my larger argument today is while we will make some errors, we will do a lot more good than bad. Like, for example, I've talked to some people. There's a format called Pre-DH, where it is a commander, but you play with cards that only exist from before Wizards started making commander products. And the idea is there's a lot of nostalgia to that. And one of the things that people say when they go back is like, oh, there's a lot of things you take for granted that, you know, once is gone, once you realize all the stuff that Wizards, in fact, did do. For example, we did a lot to make mana work. That if you go back to the old system and you don't have access to like actual old dual lands, it's hard to make mana work. We've done a lot of things to help you with mana. We also, like, you go back and you realize the red-white problem exists again. Like, there's a lot of things that we've fixed. There's a lot of tools that we've made that when you go back and you sort of play before we've added those tools, you start to recognize, oh, well, those tools were kind of nice. And so there's a lot added there. The one other thing that I need to talk about a little bit is, to use a metaphor, I like metaphors. Let's say you're into music and you find this band that's this alternate band that nobody knows about. You buy the t-shirt and wear it around and nobody even knows the t-shirt. Like, you're cool. You're the only one you see wearing the t-shirt. And when they come to town and they're at the local, you know, club, the tiny club, and it's easy to get tickets because no one's heard of them, and you're in on the cutting ground floor, right? You are, you know, this is a band you connect to. And then that band starts becoming popular, and all of a sudden, it's not so easy to get tickets to the band. And they're not playing at the club anymore. They're playing at a stadium. But even then, it's hard to get tickets. And when you walk around, everybody's wearing a t-shirt with a band on it. And when you wear it, people are like, oh, yeah, you like that band. You're like, it. There's something very special about being in early. And, I mean, Commander has had a lot of that, that it went from being this kind of ragtag format that was sort of fun, that you were experimenting with the dregs that no one will touch, into sort of the powerhouse. I mean, it's the number one played tabletop format, right? It is the 800-pound gorilla in tabletop right now. And there is a lot of things that change, you know, the dynamics are different. So, for example, one of the side effects of being a... when you are playing a format in which you are the only one playing, or, you know, you and maybe a few friends, but, like, it's not a well-played format... when you are figuring out what to play, you got no help, that you are figuring it all on your own. And while there's downside to that, the upside is it's fresh fallen snow. The design space is open for you and that you can really explore everything and everything's possible. And there is a world of discovery to be had because there's nobody to tell you what to do or not to do. But as it becomes popular, as more people start playing it, all of a sudden you get resources like EDH Rec, you know, a place that lists decks that people are playing. You get to see other people playing the format. And, you know, even if you're not consciously thinking about it, you're starting to get informed on it. Oh, you're playing white? Well, here's all the good white cards. Oh, you're playing blue? Here's all the good blue cards. And all of a sudden, what once was a wide open thing starts feeling a bit smaller. And like I said, if you are optimizing for the format, you know, there are more cards made thinking about the format. And so my big point here is as you sort of evolve, the format changes in feel. And I think a lot of people talking about, stop designing for my format really want to like recapture some early feeling of the format, but the format becoming popular, the format sort of increasing and making more people aware of it and creating more awareness of it changes the essence of what the format is. And I think a lot of Stop Designing for Commander is this idea that it was R&D designing for it that made it change. And I'm not... Obviously, we've made cards that probably if you're trying to optimize the format, we have made some cards that, you know, help you play a little more efficiently. But the reality is, I know Aaron Forsythe told me the story of when he first got introduced to Commander back in the day, and he made really, really powerful Commander decks, and then had to be told, well, you don't do that. That's not, you know, it's not as if you couldn't make efficient decks back in the day. Even in pre-DH, you can make really efficient decks that are super unfun. Like, Magic had broken things. And that's the other thing, I guess, that I should stress here is when we make a software format and we playtest the format, we not only figure out what is working for the format, meaning we're not making cards that go nowhere, we're making, like, more cards point toward you, but we're also making sure that when things are broken that we address them. Like, if R&D just didn't care, let's say we just didn't care about Commander, a couple things would happen. A lot of those cards would be relevant for Commander. A lot more sets wouldn't speak to Commander. A lot of things, we wouldn't be filling in the gaps, we wouldn't be giving cards people want. But we'd also be making things that were broken for that format. Because when we're not focused on the format, it's very easy to make things that cause problems in the format. And that one of the nice things about that is we have an entire team, the casual play design team, that playtests, I'll say most of the cards, making sure that those cards aren't causing problems. Now, they're also making sure the cards can be as fun as they can be. We're tweaking things and improving cards. But the other thing that's important is they're there as a safety valve to make sure that the broken, unfun stuff doesn't get made, that gets changed. And that's the idea that if R&D just wasn't designing for the format, what would happen is way less cards would be relevant and way less cards would cause problems. And in the end, it would make the format less fun, you know, that I know there's this idea that, you know, Somehow there's this purity of it, and that when Arnie gets involved, somehow it's like it's tainting it. But the reality is, it just means that we're spending time and attention on it, that we are spending care on it, that we are playtesting with it, that we are looking at it, that we are thinking about it. And my point of today is, things are better when we actively think about it, when we're playing with it, when we're iterating on it, when we are, it's in our mindset as we make magic. Us not thinking about it and things randomly happening, that is just chaos. That is not making it better. And I get there's this time back in the day where we didn't care about it, where there's this discovery of trying to find these things, but that is that's the day of the bands in the club that isn't true anymore. You know, if the amount of people playing Commander now, that number of people were playing back in the day, you would feel the same way about back in the day. The same systems would happen. There are better cards. People would find those better cards. There would be broken stuff. In fact, I think it would be even worse than now, because at least now we're actively thinking about it and there's less things that are problematic. So anyway, guys, that is my podcast and why designing for your format is, in fact, actually good for your format. Okay, guys, well, I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.